Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 on a Football Friday. A lot to do here. Rest of the show. A Q&A coming up in a little while. We'll guess the take. Same game parlay over at FanDuel Sportsbook for the Eagles and the Bengals game. Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, going to be a great matchup on Sunday. Eagles are underdogs. Do you expect them to win the game? We'll get back to all the phone calls. Plus, we are looking for, on a try day, with a great prize attached to it. Best answer we get today. Maybe our next guest will help us with this. I'm sure he'll have a creative answer. What should Hugh Douglas be for Halloween as he has a new place? Maybe trick-or-treating next week.
Trick-or-treat.
What should Hugh Douglas be for Halloween? Best answer we get to that wins a prize. 4-pack of tickets to the Brotherly Love Card Show in Philly this Saturday. Let's go out to the guest line right now. One of Hugh's crew. His name is Trey Thomas. He's with us right now. Trey, how you doing, buddy?
Big fella.
Hey, greetings to all. How's everyone?
How are you doing, man?
I'm fantastic.
So, Trey, my question to you is this. As well as the Eagles have been playing, do you feel like this weekend, this would be an acceptable loss if they went to Cincinnati and say, lose the game?
No, it's not an acceptable loss. I mean, you know, because you want to see them continue to build on something. You know, when you go back and you look at how the games have been played, you know, when they got their first win, you saw, like, all right, the defense came out there, they played a certain style, and they were a little bit more aggressive, and then they fell off the following game. Then now you come back against the Giants, and, I mean, you could just tell that defensive line was buzzing. Secondary was a lot more physical, shutting down the receivers, not giving as much time, not playing off as much space, and allowed the defensive front to get home. So you want to see them continue to build onto something and move forward.
Trey, what do you make of the last 2 weeks? It two wins back-to-back, and they've looked better, haven't turned the football over, and the defense has played really well. But, of course, you know, they haven't played the best teams. They played the Browns. They played the Giants. Does this look real to you, or do you have to see it against a really good opponent first before you feel like they've really turned a corner?
Well, you got to get your easy wins first. You know what I'm saying? Because that's going to help build up the confidence. Now, against the Browns, I really didn't put much into it just because you knew Amari Cooper really wasn't giving you everything that he had because his name was in trade talk. So, you know, he really wasn't as physical and much of an explosive player as he was normally was. So I really didn't put much into that one. But against the Giants, I felt like our secondary definitely came to play, which gave our defensive front time to get home. So, you know, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, I think when you see them leaning on the run, where I think they had 45 runs called in this game compared to 15 passes,
yeah,
that's what you want to continue to see. If you're going to continue this type of game plan, especially when the defense is playing you for it.
You know what, Trey, I'm curious because, you know, like I used to beat you like a drum in practice every day. I was kind of wondering,
so
what have you
seen? See that? You know what I'm saying? See, I was trying to stay positive and, you know, just stay on a certain track. You know what I'm saying? But here you go. But go ahead.
No, but what have you seen from Bryce Huffman? Why has he struggled so much from your opinion, rushing the passer?
I think just because, you know, tackles are a lot have gotten a lot more craftier. And I know that they say, okay, he's been standing up compared to being in a four-point stance and being to come off the ball. But, you know, when rushers come with that weak rush like you used to come with in practice, and then I just go ahead and punch you in the mouth and run you by the quarterback and the ball gets out, then, you know, you start seeing that with Huff as well, where his rush wasn't as physical. It was trying to be sweet and trying to come off the ball. And linemen have become a lot more craftier. When you're up in a two-point stance and you're not jetting off the ball, they're able to sit back and just punch you and run you by. Now, I also do think that the secondary wasn't as physical, which mm-hmm. allowed the quarterback to get those little dink and dump passes off.
That's good enough.
Yeah, and now I know why Hugh associates and defends Bryce Huff so much. I mean, Trey just told us he rushes as weak as you used to, Hugh, in practice.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's it right there.
Trey, you coming with those weak ass rushes, man. You know what I'm saying? Anybody trying to hear that? That's crafty.
That's why you dying your beard. You still be dying your beard, dog.
No, dog, I don't dye my beard, man. No, man. I sleep, man. I get lots of sleep.
He be dying.
He's getting good sleep.
Dude.
He's living healthy. Yeah. He could take some tips from this guy.
Life.
All right, Trey, let's talk about the run game. You mentioned they should continue to lean on it here. But they're running, I think they're running for two reasons. One, it's working right now, right? Their run game is excellent behind Saquon Barkley. But also, the pass game has been choppy. What are you noticing with Jalen Hurts right now? Clean the last 2 weeks, no turnovers, but he's taking sacks, and it just feels like it's up and down, maybe missing some guys that are there. What do you see with Jalen?
Yeah, well, you know, when you knew when you had the bad boys come back, when you got A.J. Brown and Slim coming back, you know, those guys right there are just dynamic receivers. And then, you know, when you take Slim out of the game, then A.J. is going to have a big game. Then now you're going to have to try to take A.J. out of the game, and then Slim is going to have a big game. And then now you even mix the tight end into it. You know, it's going to be some give and take in there. But I think as the offensive line, they just need, you know, you keep running the ball, man. You mess around. That's when you are operating in Coach Stoutland's wheelhouse, because he is a master at working combination blocks, getting guys up to the second level, and creating those holes for Saquon to get up in.
You know, Trey, when you look at the way this team is presently constructed, can we get to the Super Bowl running the football, in your opinion?
To me, I think that if you show that you can pass, because to me, I'm an offensive lineman that believes in passing first to run. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe if you can pass and I can get you to thin out that box and make you play a traditional nickel front, then now I can light you up with the run game. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's in my favor, if I got four down, two linebackers, I can block that with five guys and we can read the defensive end. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So I think that if you can pass it, I think the passing game, when you got Devontae and you got A.J. Brown out there, that's going to make teams play you a different way. And then now you can run the ball up in there. So I think having those guys back will definitely get you there.
Trey,
definitely get you there, but it's going to take defense to win it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, I'm so glad you said that. Hugh Douglas over here, this guy used to play defense, tries to tell me defense is a luxury, not a necessity. Trey, can you tell him you need a good defense to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely need a good defense because, I mean, you know, hey, you don't want it to be a shootout. You know what I'm saying? Just go back and look at, you know, the Super Bowl that we did win in 2017. What won that game? It was, I know we all give Nick Foles his props, but it was B.G. Sack that won that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a shootout, though.
But the defense made a play. It was a necessity.
And to that point, yeah, that's all I need my defense to do is make a couple plays.
You know, this defense might make more than
that. The only sack in that game.
Yep.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was the only sack in that entire game. B.G. won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
You hear that?
Yeah.
This guy knows some football, and he just told you that defense is a necessity.
It was a little bit of a shootout, though. It was.
Sure, but it was
a shootout.
Yeah, it was a shootout.
It was a little bit of a shootout, though. Ain't like no defense came to play, though.
Yeah, man, but dog, you know, so what you doing with your beard, dog? I see, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what do you mean?
Like
I'm homeless?
You know, you telling me I'm dying, man, but you around here looking like, you know.
First of
like
all, Bob I haven't. First of all, I was gonna shape it up, but now I just made a bet where if the Eagles hold the Cincinnati Bengals to no points in this game, I got to go ahead and shave it off. So I might be running around here with the booty face dog for a couple days.
If the Cincinnati Bengals, if they hold Cincinnati Bengals to what?
Zero points. Zero touchdowns.
Oh, no, you good.
That's what I told him.
Yeah,
you know what? But I do have to get it shaved up, you know, but I've been having barber issues, man. You know, I'm kind of funny about my beard, so I walk around here looking like yesterday's child before I let somebody just trim on my beard, though, man.
Well, that's what we do anyway, dog. We trenching it, man. We ain't worried about
that. You know what I mean, man? I mean, you know, I ain't got no girlfriend. You married, got your lovely wife. You dressing all nice every day. I don't care what I look like on a daily basis. I don't really care.
Well, we trenching it, dog.
Yeah, I'm out the game, dog. I'm out the game.
Yeah, we all right, dog.
Yeah, but you need to quit dyeing your beard, though, dog.
Nah, man, I don't dye.
I just get good sleep, dog.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in the bed by 9:30, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Drinking nice little wine. You know, hung out with Trey the other night, right?
Yeah. Water.
We went bowling.
Mm-hmm.
Trey brought his own bowling balls, man.
Yeah.
Brought like a little case.
Well, a real bowler has a custom ball. Yeah,
he has a couple custom balls.
Yeah, I got a couple custom balls. I got two.
Yeah, but he need to quit dyeing his beard.
All right, Trey, we got to end with this. So we're looking today for a Halloween costume for you. He's got a new neighborhood. He's going to take his son trick-or-treating next week. What should Hugh be for Halloween? You got an idea?
Just don't go as baby oil. All right, man, I'll see you later.
Trey, we'll see you, buddy.
Yeah, you caught that, right? The baby oil.
Yeah, I caught it.
P. Diddy.
Yeah, we caught it. All right, P. so... How many former football players have to tell you defense is not a luxury?
No,
until you drop nonsense.
I'm telling you, but he gave a perfect example. That was a shootout.
But it's the hard. Defense made it's a play hard. To win it.
These defense players, and if we had him on the phone, he'd tell you this too. They ain't built like they used to be built. They don't want to tackle nobody.
Now, is this a back in my day?
No, I'm just no. That's what it sounds it's like. Not back then in the day, Douglas.
Back in my day, we had three-a-days and we tackled.
It's a different era, man. And so now coaches have to find those guys. You got to figure out their why, because most of them don't want to get their uniform dirty.
Well, guess what? Someone's going to win the Super Bowl this year, and I bet they play some good defense. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Rick is in Princeton. What's up, Rick?
Hey, boys.
Hey, Rick.
You guys are beating up you. You're using them as a punching bag today. What's going on here?
No, I don't believe that. We're just
you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to get the guy to shave his beard. That's all.
goodness gracious. Poor guy. Leave him alone. There is no such thing as an acceptable loss. I'm with him on that. We want the Eagles to get better every week, not, settle.
Well, we want that, Rick, but if they happen to drop this game, there's certain games where you can't lose. Right?
You're basically looking at it like it's not the end of the world, which it isn't, but I feel like for momentum purposes, because as well as I do, people are not going to feel good they drop this game. They're not going to feel good about it.
And they're going to feel twice as good if they do win, because they're playing – it's a good team. They're not great. They're not bad. But you get that win, and that momentum can be a shift that – I mean, I don't want to say season-changing, not even halfway through.
Potentially season-changing. I'll say it if you want. I'll say it potentially.
I think you're both right on this, actually, Rick, because you could kind of see the runway to a really good record if they win this game, right? If they win this, they're 5-2. Jaguars at home next week, that should be a win 6-2. They go to Dallas, who doesn't look very good this year. All of a sudden, they could be 7-2 before they play the Commanders to take control of the division. I mean, you're right. It kind of changes the forecast of the season if they win the game.
Yeah, and you get the morale up, and then all of a sudden, some things might fall your way, and it's nice. And then Kyle gets to keep his hair and all this stuff, and it's nice.
Well, for him, it'd be nice, yeah. I mean, we're looking for the most ridiculous outcome possible. All right, Rick, do you have a Halloween costume idea for Hugh?
I do. Now, this requires face paint as well, but Winnie the Pooh in, one of those footy, pajama kind of costumes.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, though?
Yeah, it could carry a pot of honey around. Rick, I like this one. You're anti-Winnie the Pooh?
Well, they did a story about Winnie the Pooh, too, and Christopher Robinson.
What did Winnie do?
Oh, no.
Well, they did a horror movie where Christopher Robinson left Winnie, and Winnie killed him. Killed all his family members.
That's a lot.
They've ruined our childhood.
Yeah, what was up with that? Why would they do
that?
So who's the bad guy?
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie. He's like evil.
And Eeyore. Was it? No, it was Piglet.
Eeyore's always kind of been a downer.
Yeah.
Eeyore's the worst.
Yeah, they ruined it for everybody.
That was a passionate Eeyore take.
I hate Eeyore. He's depressing. I mean, who likes Eeyore? He's the worst character on that show. But I didn't know about this.
Who's the Eeyore of WIP?
Yeah, all of these childhood characters that we have.
Well,
I
was so anti-Eeyore. I can't be like, this is my Eeyore here. Because, I can't. Yeah. I mean, I think if we could, if you wanted to say, who's the most negative host or, the most,
biggest downer?
Who's our Eeyore?
It might be you.
I'm the Eeyore?
No. Optimistic Hugh. No. I have a name in my head. I'm not going to say it because I was so anti-Eeyore. I can't.
Say it.
No, I don't want to because I like this guy. It's more.
You can still like him, but he's Eeyore.
No, I'm not going to do it. I think you guys could probably guess it. Someone whose on-air persona is generally they're going to lose.
Are they on before or after us?
They're on after us.
Okay. I mean.
Doesn't have to mean directly after us.
You mean at night?
I think you hear them more of that.
Or on the weekend.
Yeah, there's someone.
I think we've settled on who it is.
Rob's got some Eeyore to him, but no.
Rob Cherry?
Yeah, Rob Cherry. I wasn't thinking Rob, but Rob actually.
That's an out-of-the-box one.
That's
my guy, though, too. Yeah. Rob is definitely my guy, but yeah, I was thinking when you said Eeyore, a little bit of Eeyore, a little bit of Rob, a little bit of Rob.
I wasn't thinking that, but it made me laugh.
So, I can't take the whole fake tough, no loss is acceptable thing.
See,
I just can't do it.
They're following Hugh's lead on this.
Well, I know, but I get that coming from a former player's mentality. You go into every game expecting a win, but we can be realistic about this whole thing. If I pick the Eagles to win 13 games this year, that means I had four. Is 13-4 an unacceptable record?
Let me help you out a little bit because I think for you, the issue is the people saying that there's no acceptable loss. Mm-hmm. No, for me, and I think this is where the people are coming from, it's more about the momentum of the season as opposed to the L. Because if you're being realistic, they're going to take an L somewhere down the line.
Sure.
But I think it's the timing of the L. We've played two games where everybody's like, it's a yeah, but game. They won, yeah, but it's the Cleveland Browns. They won, yeah, but it's the New York Giants. This legitimizes, if they get this win this weekend, it legitimizes this team and everything that basically I've been hoping for and the fan base is hoping for.
And you could see the runway to a really good season.
Yes.
And it, you know what else? It's the first of six games against some good quarterbacks, right? We're done with the bad ones now. We did our Derek Carr and our Daniel Jones and Deshaun Watson portion of the schedule. And now here we go with Burrow, Lawrence, Dak, Daniels,
exactly.
Stafford, Lamar. It will give a confidence boost to the fan base that, wow, maybe something real is happening.
Because realistically, when we looked at this schedule, and let me just pull it up real quick, because we were looking at, when we were doing win-losses, We were basically talking about, okay, they'll beat this team, they'll beat that team. And coming into this, we thought we would beat the Falcons. Thought the Saints game would probably be an L. I'm just trying to speculate on how I remember this. I forgot what the Buccaneers game was going to be. I would probably say that would be an L. But the Falcons game is the one that kind of has thrown us a little bit in the tizzy. Because We're supposed to be, at this point, that's what, 5-1? 6-1?
I think a lot of people probably expected a 5-1 start. But I think 4-2, now they may have gotten.
Yeah,
they got to 4-2 in a kind of a bizarre way. But I think this is an okay start.
So
actually a pretty good start.
With that being said, we are looking at this as then it becomes an acceptable loss because we're assuming we would have played better. I think the thing where people are having a little bit of trepidation, Kyle, is that we've not looked great. And we're starting to trend in that right direction.
Right.
And now if we don't win, it's a regression.
Well, I wouldn't even go that far. Like, I think there's a world where the Eagles look good in this game and they lose.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I don't feel like that's acceptable because if they look, to me, in my perspective, if they look good, they win.
Do you ever go through a stretch of a schedule, say, next six games, what's an acceptable record for you? And you go, well, 4-2. That means you have put down two losses.
Yeah, you just didn't know where
acceptable.
They were coming from.
Well, right, yeah. Of course. There's a world where a loss is acceptable.
How about we do that right now? Next six games, all against six. The worst quarterback they're going to see in the next 6 weeks is Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he's very good, but he's also not horrendous, right? He's better than Daniel Jones. He's better than Deshaun Watson.
Puka might be a problem.
Okay, so we'll get there. All right.
Puka might be.
So their next six games, starting Sunday, Bengals, Jaguars, Cowboys. And it's a diminished Cowboys team. They're not what they were. But by then, I'm not sure if Parsons will be back. He might be. So the Cowboys, while not as good as they have been in the last couple years, probably more of an average team than a terrible one. Washington, Rams, and Ravens. And just to so we're on the same page, Bengals, Rams, Ravens, Cowboys on the road. So four of these six are on the road.
4-2.
That is the bare minimum, or that's your prediction?
That's my prediction.
Okay.
I think you get the Commodores. Cowboys. You know what the funny thing about it, and I always split when it comes to the Cowboys, because, boy, those games are always tough. They're tough.
All right.
But we're going to Jerry Dome.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, Jerry probably would have, I'm thinking, that's what, 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, Jerry probably would have had a full on meltdown by then.
You guys got to be smoking something.
He's giving out tours in the middle of the locker room. Players are complaining. All right, so Hughes got 4-2.
Full on meltdown.
Hughes got 4-2.
So you have two acceptable losses, Hugh.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said, 4-2. But with this stretch that we're going through now, I think you got to beat the Bengals. I just feel like for my psyche and to feel better about this team. And the quarterback that you're playing against, it makes you feel better because let's be honest.
It's an agenda thing then.
Yeah, let's be honest. But no, let's be honest. Everybody, I would assume, had us beaten the Giants and
the
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, sure.
This was the swing game. This was the game. If you're being honest with yourself, when you looked at the schedule,
right.
This was the game.
Yeah.
That you looked at, that it could have probably, most people would be 50-50.
If you had said two games ago, before the Browns game, out of the next three games,
Which one would you think they would lose?
What's an acceptable record? A lot of people would say 2-1.
I would say the one that you, if you ask out of those three games, which one do you think that they would lose?
Bengals.
Yeah, it would be the Bengals.
It's the Bengals one, right. So I think people are able to stomach and be realistic about the fact that a 2-1 stretch in those games is very realistic and very acceptable if the loss is against the best team of those three.
So I actually think 3-3 could be acceptable the next 6 weeks. It just depends on which teams they beat. I look at it. When we went through the teams, Bengals, Jaguars, Cowboys, Washington, Rams, Ravens. 3-3 was the first thing that came to my head, but I think the wins over, if two of the three wins over the Cowboys and Washington, then the 3-3 is okay. I wrote down L to the Bengals, L to the Rams, L to the Ravens. I wrote down wins over the Jaguars, Cowboys, Washington. Kyle, next six, what's the record?
So US, what do I think the record is, what do I think is acceptable?
So I have it as the same in my head. A 3-3, I think, is what's going to happen, and that's they need at least 3-3.
Oh, 3-3 is unacceptable. I need 4-2.
You need 4-2?
I need 4-2, yeah.
Well, here's I think they need wins over the Cowboys and Commanders.
They got
to be part of the win.
It's heavily weighted to which ones they are.
Yep.
They can lose the Ravens game. That's one on the schedule that's an acceptable loss.
Yeah.
You have to beat the Commanders at home. I mean, that is...
It might be the biggest game of the season.
Might be for the division.
I actually think it will be the biggest game of the season.
Yeah. Man. So, I need a win over the Jags, need a win over Dallas, need a win over the Commanders. I need a win over the Rams, too.
Rams are not a pushover.
I know they're not, if we want to have a serious Eagles season, then we can't just drop a game to a team that's quote-unquote not a pushover, like, all the time.
I know.
Right?
It's a road game against not a pushover. I mean, four of these next six are on the road starting Sunday. I mean, right. this is a challenging stretch. The most obvious win is the Jaguars one next week. That's got to be a win. The Cowboys and Commanders back-to-back in 4 days in November is going to be a big one. 215-592-9494. M in Virginia. What's up, M? M?
Hello?
Hello, M.
Hello, my man. I don't know if I just heard my background.
Now we're good, Em. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
You know, we're just chopping off Hugh's beard, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and with that being said, that means, Hugh, we ain't even got to play the music in the because you guarantee a win this week, right?
I guess I got a guarantee win, but see, that's not the one. I got a guarantee, like, if they get a shutout, then that's when I got to shave.
Yeah.
This guy's
I can do that. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Now, you get it. Now, where's the round of applause? There's always the, where's the round of applause?
We did do that.
That's when he doesn't guarantee.
I get the all when I don't guarantee.
When he disappoints the whole studio audience we have here.
I was about to say when I doesn't guarantee.
Okay, and this isn't my answer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So for Hugh, but my answer for Cal, I think Cal should dress up as the Grinch. Because he's like a Debbie Downer when he answered that damn phone.
You know what? Shut up. Kyle's got a Grinch to him. Yeah, he even has like the physique of the Grinch. He doesn't have like the pot belly for no reason.
Well, full disclosure.
He's mad at me.
I just like when, if I ask you, do you expect to win? And you don't answer with, well, I'm an Eagles fan. So, of course, like, we're all Eagles fans, dude. Be realistic.
The definition of fan.
Fanatic.
What is fans short for?
Yeah, fanatic.
Yeah, but that's not what we're asking. We're asking for your opinion, not where your heart's at. All of our hearts are in the same place. There's no discussion on whether you're an Eagles fan or not. We're all Eagles fans.
I follow my heart, Kyle.
Awesome. You're the the man.
The Kyle who stole the Eagles season.
Friday's a drinking night.
You starting early, Q?
No, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I ain't got no furniture, so.
You don't need furniture to drink. You see,
well, when you pass out, you wanna pass out on something.
I know you got a bed. They have a bed now. You're good, aren't you?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
You ain't got no furniture?
Not yet.
So you live in a skating rink?
Basically. Oh, the echoing in
get
stuff.
Get some rollerblades.
Skate rink, yeah.
Get some liquor and rollerblades, and you have yourself Friday night. All right, M, you expect to win, yes?
100%.
All right. Now, what should you be for Halloween? You got one for Hugh?
You say you got past that.
Hugh.
Yes.
Let's see. All right. So a couple months ago, I called. Y'all said, you asked me, was Hugh being soft about something? And I said, yeah, he's a little, he's a little plush. So I'm thinking, like, the Marshmallow Man, Michelin
Stay
Man.
Puff,
you know.
Michelin. Stay yeah, Puff. I got you. Yeah, Stay Puff, Marshmallow
yeah,
Man.
Yeah, that's a good one, and we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I don't know if it's a winning answer, but it's a fun one. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Best answer we get today to what should Hugh Douglas be for Halloween? His costume idea wins a 4-pack of tickets to the Brotherly Love Card Show tomorrow, October 26th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. You know who's going to be there? Hugh Douglas is going to be there.
Yes, I am.
Signing autographs. Hang out with Hugh tomorrow. We're looking for that great submission. All right, we'll get to a Hugh and A coming up in a little bit here, but we got a big game on Sunday. Eagles at Bengals. Eagles currently a 2.5-point favorite. Could they win this game? Absolutely. It wouldn't shock me if we come in here and we say, man, they finally made they got a turnover on defense. And Cooper DeGene made a big play, and they protected the football, and Saquon ran for 2 touchdowns, and they win at 24-23. We got a big season on the horizon here. It wouldn't shock me, but I'm not expecting it. I don't expect the Eagles to go to Cincinnati and win. I think it's a difficult schedule spot, their second straight road game. Again, not having my lot at left tackle, it probably rears more of its head this week if they can't run it as much because it's more of a shootout. And I look at the quarterback situation. Burrow's playing at a much higher level than Jalen. I don't expect a victory on Sunday. I'm hoping for one. Don't expect a heel. You expect a win?
I expect a win. I'm expecting a win because I feel like this team has momentum on their side right now. They're playing well. The defense is playing a lot better. And you just have to keep that going, man. It's not lost on me that this is a tough challenge. No question about it when you talk about the two receivers that they have over there and the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that these young Thundercats, they're up for the challenge, man. And this defense, Nolan Smith said something to me about – well, he didn't say it to me. He said it to ESP when he was on his video about how, you know, it's not – This is not linear. It's kind of up and down, and sometimes you're in the peaks and the valleys. Well, right now you're climbing the peak. You got to keep climbing. You have to string together some wins and some consistency, because this fan base, if you guys care about things like that, this fan base right now is sitting back with their arms folded, waiting to see what happens next, because you're playing against a good quarterback. If you're being honest with yourself, there is. A train of thought that people think you got lucky because you played two bad quarterbacks. One of the quarterbacks isn't even playing anymore because he got hurt, and there's some speculation on whether or not Daniel Jones is going to be benched. So there's that. If you want to consider yourself turning a corner and have arrived, this is the weekend to do it.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's certainly the excitement level for the Eagles would reach a fever pitch, the highest it's been this season, if they go to Cincinnati and win this game. And I'm glad you mentioned Nolan Smith, Hugh, because, you know, we're going to make a lot of these matchups, and we'll do the pregame show Sunday, and Elliot will join us from Cincinnati. You know, Quinyon against whoever he's covering, whether it be T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. But it comes down to this for me, Vic Fangio and how he revs this pass rush up, because they've gotten a lot of sacks the last 2 weeks. A lot of pressure under Sean Watson and Daniel Jones. And you wonder how much that is the Giants and the Browns stink and those quarterbacks stink, and how much of it is they real. And I agree with Nolan Smith, what he said. It's not linear, right? Sometimes you think a player's heading in a good direction, and then they kind of fall back to earth a little bit. The one thing is Joe Burrow does take sacks. He always has. He likes to hold on the football. He likes trying to make plays down the field. I feel like this is the week, if they're really there, they got to get to Joe Burrow. Like, because I think if he has time, he's going to make plays.
Yeah, it's going to be a wrap. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
We got to get to him. We got to pressure Joe Burrow. And, you know, they got, what, 13 sacks the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, they've been getting after it a little bit.
Can I have 4 on Sunday?
I don't see nothing wrong with that. I'll take 4.
Can I get 3 on Sunday? All right, I didn't hear the buzzer on that. All right, Ma, can I get 2 on Sunday?
I'll take three. I want three.
I think we need three or four to win the game.
Maybe.
But I still think we need three or four to win the game. 215-592-9495. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Ruben in North Philly. Hey, Ruben.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ruben.
Yes.
What's up?
So, listen, first of all, when Doc Rivers said, hey, that was a scheduled loss, the city went wild. You guys tore them apart. Now we're sitting around with the Eagles talking about what's an acceptable loss. Like, that's ridiculous. You play to win. That's the first thing.
Of course they play to win, but I think there's a difference between a coach saying there's a scheduled loss and me saying, you know, in a 17-game season on the road in Cincinnati, second straight road game, that's not the worst loss in the world.
So you think Cincinnati, with four losses already, is a better team than Philadelphia Eagles with two losses?
Well, forget what I think. The odds makers say that because the Bengals are favored.
They're just trying to make money. Like, I want to know.
No. Hold on. Ruben, they set the lines because they're going to base it on where people are putting the money.
Right. And so, guess what? Vegas is in business to make billions of dollars because people lose on those bets. They're betting on the Cincinnati, and they're going to lose on that bet, right? When we listen to these odds makers every week on WIP, how often are they right?
A lot.
They're not right that much. They are. A little bit better than 50%.
Ruben, they're making money.
Because people are betting the wrong way. They put that narrative out there, and people fall for the banana in the tailpipe. I don't believe that Cincinnati – I think it's going to be a coming-out party for the Eagles.
Well, I hope you're right. But the people making the odds, it's based on the two teams' strengths and weaknesses. It's not like banana in the tailpipe. Like, they have people whose whole job is to set the line. Like, that's what they do for a living.
But when we watch them, when we use the eye test, right?
Cincinnati has a better quarterback. That's the biggest thing.
I disagree with that. I don't think they have a better quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback. Oh. I think we've had our struggles. I think we've had our challenges for a number of reasons, but I definitely think he's a better quarterback.
Why?
First of all, nobody posed the threat to defenses like Jalen Hurts. Right now, he hasn't made a lot of the best decisions in terms of where he goes to the ball. But when he's on point, I think he's the most unstoppable quarterback, of course, second in the league to Kansas City. But I think he's the most unstoppable quarterback of all those guys. You talk about Burrow, whoever. Like, I don't think.
What about Lamar?
I think Lamar's in the top five, of course. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar's better than Jalen. I mean, Lamar's the reigning MVP, and he's better this year, too.
I think he's having probably a little bit better of a year. But when you think about it, overall, he hasn't won anything either. So when you talk about talent and ability, I think I would tip the scale in favor of Jalen.
I mean, come on.
Talking about that man about being
so you don't think that Jalen, pound for pound, is standing up to Lamar? Lamar,
I mean, that ship is sailing the wrong direction, man.
Lamar got
and I like Lamar. I'm not like dissing Lamar. Like, he's a great quarterback. But for my money, if I were starting a team up today and had to pick a guy, I would pick Jalen.
Dog got two MVPs.
He might have a third.
He's working on his third MVP. I mean, he ain't that great now.
He might. How many trophies you got?
How many trophies does Jalen have?
Man, that's not none.
And that's what I'm saying. They're kind of part. They're kind of equal.
No, they ain't even done. All
right.
I'm just saying. I'm not joking.
I mean, Ruben, I like Jalen, but we have one year where he played like that. One.
I'm just saying,
which gave you a glimpse into what he can do.
Sure, but I agree with that. But I can list a lot of quarterbacks that had one special year. Like Cam Newton did this, and he never got back to that level. I mean, I got to see Jalen get back there, Ruben. Maybe this is the weekend. I got to see it.
But they're revving up for that now. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, the run game is revving up. I mean, I agree with that.
Think about this. Think about those first, four or five games or six games, whatever, as their preseason. They got it out their system. Mm-hmm. They're ready to go, man. Come on. So. You got to ride with that.
This is your fault, Hugh.
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm with you.
Take the blame.
I ain't denied anything the man said, but I'm just saying, when you start talking about Jalen Hurts better than Lamar Jackson, this man working on his third MVP, dog.
I guarantee you this. We got the best weapons in the league. We got the best running back, pound for pound. We got two of the top 10 receivers. When our tight end is healthy, he's up there. So when everything is even, healthy offensive line, the Jalen's head is right, the fans are behind him, Nick is going crazy behind the scenes. I guarantee you, when the smoke clears, shoot, you said you were going to take that road trip to New Orleans. When the smoke clears, I'm going with y'all.
Oh, you got Ruben. You hop in the car too. So who's going with
I'm
you?
I'm hopping in that car.
You, Ike, Bam, and Ruben, right?
Who's all going to the road trip?
Same car, yeah.
Me and Ike.
Ruben's in too. He just invited himself.
No, I'm in there. Come on.
Yeah, Ruben's in.
I'm looking at the three.
Who ride it? Like, no disrespect, Ruben. I love you to death. Me and Ike.
Ruben, I'll sneak you in.
Herb's taking a separate bus.
Okay, yeah. Ruben,
y'all can follow. No.
Ruben, what should you be for Halloween?
You're in the car with Herb.
There's going to be a caravan.
A caravan, yeah, that's right.
Y'all can't ride with me.
Want to play with me?
The only person riding with me is Ike.
Ruben, you're in the car. Don't worry about it. All right, Ruben, what should you be for Halloween?
So, you know what, Hugh?
What's up, man?
We're going to dress you up as Invisible Man. You know why?
Why?
How long did you play in Philadelphia?
I would say, what, 6 years? 6 years? Six. Yeah.
All right. And how long have you been living in the area?
Oh, man. Well, I just moved back, but when I retired, I was about, 12 years?
Define living in the area.
All right.
No, I lived in the area. Yeah,
kind of having a home. Bed. Yeah.
But you still don't know the name of the streets?
I don't. Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's a lot of people that don't know the name of the streets. Street,
you called it Poplar on that last commercial.
Poplar. Yeah, it's Poplar.
No, you said Poplar.
Okay, on, Poplar.
Man. Nah.
Okay,
nah.
Poplar.
You're going to be Philadelphia. You got to pronounce everything the right way, brother.
Okay.
We're going to revoke you.
That's not going to happen. We're dealing with Hugh here.
Yeah. Also,
and Hugh.
Also, hold on. Can I need to defend Hugh on this. I have been doing shows here at WIP since 2013. We mispronounce a lot of things. Okay?
A lot of words.
Alshon Jeffrey was a tremendous Eagles wide receiver, and I took a lot of Alshon Jeffrey's calls. I mean, a lot. We do it. It's Chase Daniel, who was here for 1 year, was Chase Daniels.
Castellinos.
That's a famous one. I mean, we do this all the time. So I'm going to...
Eric Beminiman.
I am all for poking at Hugh when it's time to do it, but Hugh's not the only one.
I didn't realize that there was this much Jalen Hurts delirium.
Oh, yeah. You didn't realize that?
No, I thought that was kind of...
You thought it was over?
Yeah, I thought a lot of those people were kind of beaten down after this show. I mean, like, Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, there's no comparison. And we have to stop the hardware thing. First of all, neither of them have a Super Bowl trophy.
No.
Like, Lamar Jackson is a multiple-time MVP. Any general manager in the entire league, if given the choice, would take Lamar Jackson over Jalen Hurts. They would do the same with Joe Burrow. This has to stop.
So I think part of it is people get stuck in where they were. And at some point, 2 years ago, you can make the case, you, when Jalen was having his great season and they went to the Super Bowl, that maybe Mahomes was the only quarterback you would take over him.
Yeah.
But the last year and a half has been the last year and a half, and he hasn't played as well. I keep using this name because this is what it reminds me of. And he could change it, right? I'm not saying Jalen, he's stuck here. He could get better. He's having right now what looks like Cam Newton's career. One special year, MVP, Cam won, got to the Super Bowl and lost. Jalen didn't win the MVP, but he almost did. And then he was never quite as great as he was that 1 year, right? Cam had a couple more. He went to the playoffs one more time.
Mm-hmm.
He was decent until his body gave out. That's what it feels like the career Jalen is trending towards. Now, maybe he flips this, and maybe he's great the rest of the year, and they get to New Orleans, and you and our last caller and Ike all ride down together and all that. But until this changes, this is more of a Cam Newton career than it is, like, you know, a Hall of Fame career.
Mike ride.
Yeah.
That's it.
How many more do you have room for? Because we got Herb, our last caller. I'm just...
How many you got room for?
Yeah, because Ruben's in.
Ike?
Okay.
That's it.
What about us?
Yeah, I mean,
if y'all want to go, that's negotiable.
Of course we want to go.
Negotiable?
Yeah, that's negotiable. But but Joe already said he was flying.
Yeah, I'm flying.
Joe's not riding.
You're going to go with somebody from another show and ditch us.
No, I'm not going. He's my teammate. No, that's kind of my teammate.
Not anymore.
Well, especially since we stole Chuck.
Okay. That one right there. He's more like family. It's more like a family trip.
I understand.
I see how this is.
No, I'm saying you can go, but
no problem.
Kyle, I know you're not riding because as soon as we get in the car, I can hear Kyle talking about, pull over, I got to use the bathroom. Yeah, Kyle, we don't stop. We don't take bathroom.
Why? Why?
We take gas.
Why
breaks.
Am I using the bathroom the whole time?
I don't know, because maybe you've been drinking a lot of water. I don't know.
Hold on a second.
What?
How many? You're only taking gas breaks?
That's it. That's it.
It's a trip to New Orleans.
What kind
we're
of gas breaks?
We're taking gas breaks.
Excuse me.
Like, everything has to be done. You better time whatever your business you need to do. It has to go in correlation with the gas stop.
And this is why I'm flying.
If I'm sitting as a passenger, I'm bringing some road sodas. I'll definitely need some pullover.
Oh, you should be.
Yeah.
But you know, you better use one of them cans because we don't pull over.
You
we
would rather me use a can in the back seat of your truck than
nuts.
Pull over.
Well, who said we're driving a truck? We're going to drive a space. We're going to be in a spaceship. We're going to get there quick. Well, I shouldn't have said that over there, huh?
Mm-mm.
The Popo. Listening. you know what's funny? Me and I had this conversation the other day. He's like, sometimes you forget. you say so much on the air, you forget that you say it on
everyone
the air.
Everyone can hear it.
Man, listen.
And the public things radio. That people remember, too, yeah. that they'll
for
bring up.
Ago, the other day, I'm in the elevator, right? And I had a moment. Somebody said, so I heard you moving. How the hell, in my first thought, how the hell you know I'm moving?
You said it on the air.
Because I said it on the air. And I'm like, damn, I forgot. But I got offended because I'm like, why are you all up in my business?
How do you know my boy? You told me your business.
He looked at me and he knew that's what I was probably thinking. He said, dog, he said, you said it on the air. And I was like, oh, I forgot.
See, the problem you have is someone might think, hey, he looks like the guy on the radio.
No.
Everyone looks at you and says, oh, that's Hugh Douglas.
No,
I mean,
you know what it
that's
is.
That's the guy. He said that.
Sometimes I forget, like, the microphone for me sometimes is like me talking in my head.
Yeah.
But I forget that people can actually hear.
That's why we have a dump button. All right, Cowboy Jim up next. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Correct me if I'm wrong. What is your record, the Eagles' record?
That'd be 4-2.
Okay. Let's paint this picture because you keep putting the Cowboys down. What if your team played Baltimore and Detroit? What would your record be right now?
Probably not 4-2.
Exactly. Exactly.
So he's basically saying
and
that. Next, that's what they
and
did.
You know who we play Sunday? We play San Francisco. You play Cincinnati. We play Atlanta next week, well, which you guys lost to. We play Philadelphia, which will be a win. And then we play Houston.
You got a first-place schedule, so Jim. Are you going to complain about it?
We have a long season to go. We're playing some really tough teams right now. So just hold off on the Cowboys are a mess.
Well, they are. You got the owner giving out tours while they're trying to practice.
RDR.
Who cares about something like that?
Oh, the players obviously do. Jim, your team's getting smashed on Sunday.
No, they are not getting smashed.
This is a smash spot for a desperate Niners team. Smashed.
I want my bourbon back after yesterday. Marilyn Monroe? That's like saying Hugh Douglas is an actor, okay? I want my bourbon back.
I am an actor.
He wants his bourbon back.
Damn.
And I want
it's a nice bottle.
That's all good and drunk, Jim.
And now you got two pandering losers starting the show off with Chuck and Chris. Enough, okay? And I have a gray costume. I'm going to win. I will win. And I can't make it because I'm taking the Eagles to Cincinnati, so I'll donate it. So, Hugh, you were at Cabela's yesterday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Chop off your beard and get a costume, and you'll look like Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd?
Elmer Fudd from Cowboy Jim.
Oh, yeah.
A lame
Elmer
character
Fudd.
For a lame caller there. Elmer Fudd. I mean, the gall to call him a Cowboys hype. They're 3-3. I mean, like, no one cares about the Cowboys. It's bottom line. All right, can we get to a Q&A here? I think it's time for a little Q&A because I have a question I need to run by Hugh Douglas.
Yes, and the Q&A is brought to you by the Jug Handle Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the jug.
Get to know the Midday Show.
What?
This is Q&A on 94 WIP.
All right, I just have one question for you this week, Hugh.
What
you got? So we got the story... a few former Cowboys commented that Jerry Jones will bring tours through the locker room, like not on off days, not in the off season. You know, they're trying to practice, do whatever they do in the locker room. You know, I always thought, Hugh, the locker room was like the safe space, personal space for the players,
mm-hmm.
and the media obviously has some time they're allowed in there. But you know when they're going to be in there. I didn't think it was for fans that paid Jerry a couple bucks to come through the star.
I don't ever recall.
So
a fan base coming through while we were working.
Right. So this is my question to you. What would your reaction be? Bring me back to Hugh Douglas, the player, right? You're before practice, after practice, whatever. Who knows what's going on this season. You're in the locker room. You're changing. Whole bunch of strangers comes through with the owner just looking at you.
If they want a show, they probably would have got one with the guys that I played with. Man, I tell you, I'm not going to use anybody's names, but I can guarantee you, if you want to play that game, and you want to walk through a locker room, a NFL locker room why a bunch of grown at in a grown ass man's safe space, you're gonna see everything that you probably didn't pay money to see. Like my man, listen, I had some teammates, man, that when we used to do, they used to do interviews, butt ass naked, and not just. There's certain levels to being butt naked that I don't even want to describe, but you can imagine. But it was some guys that would sit there at their cubicle, and they would do, which, how can I say this? The Captain Morgan, they would do the Captain Morgan.
The pose.
Butt ass naked and have a straight conversation. And I would have some teammates that would be like, okay, like when the reporters would come in, they were, yeah, okay, the show about to start.
How about that D, baby?
We about to start the show. They had no qualms walking through the locker room butt-ass naked just to see. And we would stand on the other side of the room to watch everybody's reaction. And once we saw the reaction, we would call people out. Oh, I caught you. I knew what you were doing. Yeah, we would do that.
So
yeah.
You think if a tour went through the same kind of nonsense would happen?
No, it would definitely. I would do it because if you're going to invade our space like that, then why not? Give them the show. Because that's basically what you're doing. You're putting your team on display. You're treating them like cattle or property. That's what he's doing. I saw videos of him landing his helicopter on the practice field while they're practicing. So if they're going to treat me like an animal, I'm going to act like one, bottom line. And I'm going to do animal stuff, but with an SH.
I mean, it just speaks to the circus,
because it's ridiculous.
It's a circus.
Because that's our safe space. That's how it was treated. That's how, you know, that's where the camaraderie happens and all this stuff. But if you want to try to treat me like I'm property, because that's what he's doing at the end of the day. That's what Jerry's doing. He's treating you like property. And he's letting everybody, hey, you want to go see my guys? Come on. And everybody's probably had their little drinking their Chablis or whatever. And they're saying, oh, let's go check them out. Okay, if you want to do that, then I'm going to go ahead and give you what you want.
Yeah, I imagine it would not have flown in your locker room. I'm sure
that dog ain't going to hunt.
Yeah, it speaks to the circus that is the Cowboys. All right,